looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Everyone, and welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Wow, the word enlightened. You know, I love that because I love the word light and I love all it represents and does and means. And there's so many different ways to perceive that as well. But the word enlightened, I really had to think about this word for this show today because I was thinking if someone were to be having a conversation and something new came up and they were curious about it and they said, well, enlighten me. And then I started walking through that. If I was to ask someone to enlighten me about something, I really am for them to shed light on something for me, show me something new that I didn't see before and that could maybe change my life in some way, somehow. And so it came up across my desk, we'll say this, the fake desk, that there was a book written called Enlightened Eating. And as a nutritionist, I am just like, what's that? I want more light shed on how I eat. And it's very positive feeling and a beautiful feeling, and I want to learn more. And so I was gifted and I was able to read this book called Enlightened Eating. And I'll tell you, it was a bit of a scary start at first, because guess what? When we ask for there to be light shed on something, a subject, we don't always know what that's going to be. We don't know what's going to be revealed. And it's sometimes it's information that we think, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could either emotionally handle this, or wow, I wasn't expecting that. Or, I mean, I get caught off guard all the time about things that I think, oh, this is going to be a not good story. I don't want to hear it. And I don't want my heart to hurt. But I'll tell you, it was a beautiful book that I was able to read. And I have such the pleasure of having the author on. And I'm going to tell you a bit about her in just a moment. But what I really want to share and what I hope all the listeners get out of this show today is change is just, it's not convenient. And sometimes it's really disruptive, but it can truly, truly, literally, like what you're looking for, change your life and for the better. So I am so happy to bring on Dr. Cassandra Olson. And she is the author of Enlightened Eating, and the beautiful subtitle to that is The Eightfold Path to Health, and it truly is. So when you think about that, this pathway to enlightened eating. So I want to share a little bit about Dr. Cassandra Olson with you. She's an MD, and she's a diplomat certified in internal medicine. She received her medical degree from Keck School of Medicine in USC and has been in practice for over 20 years. She has also practiced in Africa and in India. In 1984, she worked with Mother Teresa at her home for dying destitute and her children's home in Calcutta. Dr. Olson also cared for the medically undeserved at a Los Angeles clinic, helping to rebuild community health after the Watts riots. I knew I was going to say that wrong. The Watts riots. It's because of the tongue twister in Fresno, California, where she attended to migrant farm workers, and at the Monterey County Health Department, where she took care of indigent adults and children. So Enlightened Eating is her first book, and I'm just so happy to welcome you, Dr. Olson. Thank you so much for sharing this time with us.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me, Lisa.
Aw, you know, I really started the book, and I thought, oh, I can't wait. I'm Enlightened Eating. This is going to be so monkly, you know, I love plant-based diets and a way of having monk philosophy, but then, oh my goodness, you started talking about the reality of food and where it came from and comes from, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this, and you really do shed light on a very difficult for so many levels, but we have to have that light shed on these things.
Yes, it's true. You know, enlightened eating is about changing your health by changing how you eat. And it also changes how you think and act with regards to food. It really transforms your relationship with food from the inside out.
Yeah.
I see patients every day that can be helped by changes in their diet. And one of the people that comes to mind is my patient named Butch, who has a history of heart disease. He actually had to have bypass heart surgery. And then a few years after the bypass surgery, he had a heart attack. He was having a stent put in. He was actually supposed to have two stents put in. He was having a stent put in, and his heart stopped. They revived him and obviously didn't put the second stent in, let him go home, and told him to come back in a couple of months to put the second stent in. Right after that, he became my patient. And we talked about how he felt such despair because he really didn't think he could take care of himself. He was waiting for that next heart attack to happen. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to him about plant-based eating and how plant-based, no oil eating, especially for someone with severe heart disease, really helps take control of your future, he felt hopeful. Mm-hmm. And he and his wife changed their diet completely to plant-based, no oil eating. And he went back to get his second stent in a few months later, and he didn't need it. And then years later, he stuck with this plant-based diet. And years later, he went and had his arteries checked and the grafts from his bypass checked, and they were more open years later than they were when they were installed.
It's like anti-aging.
Anti-aging. So he was able to take control of his health by doing that. And there's so many people that could benefit from plant-based eating.
You know, I love that you said in that story there with Butch, is that he actually was waiting for the next heart attack and that he didn't think he could do it. And there's a couple questions that you had written in the book that says, am I telling myself I can do this or am I telling myself I can't do this? And am I thinking, how awful is this going to be or how easy I can make this? And I think that's where a lot of people even get stuck in the first place.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons that I have the Buddhist psychology in the book, because people don't know how to change. Yeah. And the Buddhist psychology allows you to change without feeling guilty, without feeling shame. It's very simple. It's very direct and objective. And so what you do is you first identify the issue that you want to work on. You identify the problem. Maybe you want to lose weight. Maybe you want to lower your cholesterol. Maybe you want to handle your blood sugar. Then you identify what got you to that place. Were you overeating? Are you eating too many sweets? Are you not exercising? Then once you figure out the causes, you start to eliminate the causes, either incrementally or all at once. And then you start to live with the solution, and you start to question yourself about your own thoughts and what's helping you and what's not helping you. So you would want to encourage thoughts that would help you accomplish the goal that you want. One of my patients is a diabetic, and she really had a scare. She had to be put in the hospital for very, very high blood sugar. And before, she was kind of casual about if she went to a birthday party, she would have cake. But this time, after that hospitalization, she realized her goal was to be healthy and not to eat that piece of birthday cake. That birthday cake didn't contribute to her long-term goal of being healthy. And so for the first time at a birthday party, she skipped the birthday cake, and she didn't feel deprived. She felt good about it because she knew she was working toward her long-term goal of health.
Yes, the reward wasn't the taste of the cake or the cake. It was actually the step closer to the goal.
Exactly.
I love that. You know what? At first I was going to say, just like I'm looking at everybody, like even myself, and we think, okay, something's not working. Like you said, I have this issue. Maybe it's cholesterol. Maybe it could be anything, weight loss. But then so a lot of people, they cannot see that they're doing something like that. It's hard to say, okay, well, what is the problem? Because a lot of us don't even, the other, we don't see it because we don't want to give that up or change it. Or we're just a little bit in that victim mentality, like, well, I didn't do this, you know, I didn't cause this. And I think what I kind of got from what you're saying is that when we actually focus on the goal, that goal almost gives us the fuel and the power behind it. Like, no, I got to dig and find out who is responsible. Oh my gosh, it's me and I have to do something.
Exactly. Exactly. You're exactly right. I mean, problems don't solve themselves. And, you know, we have got to put some thought into it and realize that we're the ones responsible. If we can either stay the way we are or we can make our lives better.
Yes. Yeah, that's actually a good one. And the thing is, if we, the thought of making our lives better, we can't even imagine the possibilities. Like, look at that man who got to come home. Now, him and his wife both, because I got to read about that story in your book. And with the stent, I mean, that's what's possible, is that not only did he not have to have a second stent, but then get to reverse it. And so that's a big thing. I want to ask you about, so say we have our goal, and we're really taking responsibility, we're making choices, and then oops, we fall, we do something that we didn't, you know, abide by our choices and stuff like that. How do we, like you were talking about, how by following the Buddhist philosophies that there is no shame or guilt involved, how do we do that? How do we remove that guilt and shame?
I think because when you look at the issue objectively, you're working toward this long-term goal. It's not going to be perfect. You are going to make mistakes. You're not going to always do everything that's right, but your trajectory is good. You know, your final goal is good. And once you start eating healthier, once you stop eating fast food and processed food, unhealthy food, your thinking changes. It takes a few months, but your thinking changes about food and about yourself and about what you can and cannot do. And it propels you to be able to do more good for yourself.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about what you said, the way you're thinking. And this is, I don't know how many years ago now for me, but, and I was never a big fast food eater anyway, because I always felt icky, but I'll tell you, there'd be times I'd be a long day of work and then driving home thinking, oh my gosh, I'm starving. Like, I'm starving. I don't think I can make it home. I'm going to pull into a drive-thru. I just have one little hamburger. And I would tell myself that this is what I'm going to do. Meanwhile, I think I hadn't had one maybe in a year or whatever, but I thought, nope, this is what I'm going to do. And then as I was thinking that, those thoughts started hurting me so much that it would actually prevent me. Like, my own brain would say, like, I was committed to going to do it, then I would, you know, get to that exit or whatever, and then I just couldn't do it because I thought, no, like, I literally, my cells have changed, my biology has changed, my heart has changed, and it won't even allow me to do this anymore. It kind of felt good, because then you get home, you think, of course, like, there's so much at home I could eat, you know, and quickly.
That is a great story. And that's actually what the Eightfold Path to Health is about. It's about talking with yourself and using all of these positive reinforcements. So you talked yourself out of doing that and talked yourself into doing something that was healthy. And you can use your thoughts, your actions, your effort, your awareness to do that. So that's a great story, Lisa.
Well, thank you. Yes, and it's so funny because at first, you're right, I would have thought, oh my gosh, I feel ashamed that I would even think that or say that. And I literally would, and I'm being very vulnerable by saying this. I was thinking, well, where's some place that nobody would know me, you know, and try to hide it. But then there's this thing that once you have light shed on something, and I do appreciate you for doing the hard stuff in that book, because there is light being shed on things that, I mean, I already know them, so now I don't want to see them anymore or know about them because they just hurt, when the treatment of animals or the environment. One thing that you did right, and I want to say this, is that it's about the word waste, wasting, wasting life force and wasting food and energy and things like that. And when I read that that Americans waste 30% of all edible food produced, bought and sold in the country, like that was really That's one way of looking at it, but then you reduced it further and you said the average American wastes 1,400 calories a day or about two full meals.
Right.
That's personal now. Like that went, whoa. That's me.
Yeah.
You know, that's a person.
And you know, we do throw away a lot of food. We throw away a lot of food. And there's 1 billion people in the world that are hungry and starving. And, you know, when we eat animal products rather than plant-based products, grain is diverted. Grain is diverted to feed animals rather than grown to feed people. And so by eating plant-based, you can work against that. You don't have to be a part of that. And you were talking about thinking about getting that hamburger. You know, if one swaps out a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for a hamburger, you can save 24 feet of rainforest from being destroyed to grow food for cattle. You can save 130 gallons of water and 2.5 pounds of carbon dioxide with one peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That's incredible. Oh my gosh. And that's incredible. And that's one thing where we have 40 seconds ish before commercial, but this is one thing I struggle and I want to talk to you a bit because you are a doctor and you study with nutrition with people. And at the same time, like I hear the word peanut butter and jelly and I go, oh my God, diabetes and gross white flour and sugar and refinement. So I know that you're going to help me with that when we come back.
All right.
Of course, yes. And also too, just for the listeners, when we come back, I really am going to talk about the difference between fats and then oils, because there's some good stuff and some bad stuff in there when we come back.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today to listen to Dr. Cassandra Olson, who is the author of Enlightened Eating, The Eightfold Path to Health. I want to dive more into the eightfold later, but we just left off. I'm very aware about how we are wasting in this world and how we can save and how much. Like, it's shocking how much is saved by small changes. And just before we left, Dr. Olson, you're sharing that when I think of 24 feet of rainforest being saved because I did not eat that hamburger and I chose to have, you know, whatever it is, whether it's peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something, but like it's, this is blowing my mind, and it makes me feel really empowered to think I can have that much change for the good.
Yes. And, you know, that's the thing is when you eat plant-based, when you eat more vegetables, fruit, grains, you're not only helping yourself, but you're helping the world around you. So you're helping, you're not participating in the climate change. You're not participating in the killing of animals for food. Americans eat 1 million animals an hour. 1 million animals an hour. And so when you eat plant-based, you're not participating in that. You're not participating in world hunger. These little changes ripple out and have such a profound effect. So you're not
that's
eating that hamburger was really big.
You know, that's the word. Sorry, thank you. Profound. But I think that was the big one. And, you know, and I love that you also mentioned, we wrote extensively about it, is that it's not always about even a spiritual commitment. It's not even, maybe some people are like, you know what, I don't, like, let there be a million animals eaten every hour, killed every hour. But what you shared was about, I love this one, there was a fellow who was on the sugar plantation in Cuba. And
right.
he did care about his workers, and he wanted them to have lots of energy. I mean, so whether it's for selfish reasons or not, but he actually said, as an experiment, I guess, he noticed that when he fed them meat, they weren't as active. Or how did that work?
They didn't perform as well. They felt heavier. They had less energy. So here he thought he was doing them a big favor by serving them more meat, and he noticed it actually worked against them. So when you eat more vegetarian or vegan, you feel lighter. You know, you have more energy. And not only that, you know, the China study is a book that studied the relationship between diet and cancer. And so what they found was animal protein, animal fat, and casein, which is the protein in milk, increased tumor production and increased cancer risk. And conversely, not eating that stuff lowers cancer risk, lowers tumor production. Bob was the person you're talking about in Enlightened Eating is Bob. And Bob became a plant-based eater 30 years ago to try to overcome a family history of heart disease and illness. And he did not want that history that his family members had. And he understood that food trumps genetics. Food is more important than genetics. Plant-based food encourages telomerase, which is an enzyme that increases your lifespan. So eating plant-based actually increases your lifespan.
See, that is shocking. And I was lucky enough to have read the China study and watched the documentary that was made with it, Forks Over Knives, which, by the way, did not know that was about that until I was in there going, gosh, I feel like I've seen this before. So they are very helpful. But when we talk about, now I call them telomeres, so I think I've been saying it wrong. But,
telomerase.
Telomerase. And see, if you don't ever hear the word, you only read it. You never know how to say that. And literally, this is so shocking to me because there are so many diets out there that say, no. You know what? Cut out all the carbs and they're thinking starches and plant-based things like this and really eat it and go heavy on the meat, not just dairy, but like actual meat consumption. But yet, when we stay away from the meat and the dairy and animal products or foods, that we extend the very structure of our bodies.
Exactly.
And our lives.
Exactly. It takes 3 months, and within 3 months, you have extended your lifespan.
Oh. Ooh! Months. I can do it for 3 months. No. That's manageable. I like your, and you know what? And people can really notice the difference there. So this is the one thing I do want. Back to that peanut butter and jelly thing. So a lot of people are literally afraid of eating a lot of grain because we've got all these the grain brain and the belly when one comes to you and you say, okay, we're going plant-based and they hear about all this grain and everything, the fear that must come up that they're going to gain weight and that they're going to have these issues, how do you, what's the first thing you tell them to kind of ease their mind?
So it It depends on why they need a plant-based diet. If someone comes in and they're overweight and they want to lose weight, I don't encourage them to eat a lot of grains. I encourage them to eat more vegetables and fruit and legumes and eat a small amount of grains. If someone doesn't have a weight problem, then I encourage more grains. But the basics are going to be the vegetables, the legumes, and the fruit.
Right. Okay. And so once they, and then after 3 months, they're noticing this complete different.
Completely different. And Butch's wife, in Enlightened Eating, Butch's wife, Darlene, talks about after she had been doing this plant-based eating, and for Butch, no fat, you know, no fat eating, she noticed that her attitude toward food had changed. She didn't want the things that she had wanted before. The cravings for various foods disappear. And that's what people find, because the foods that are addictive, like the foods that are high sugar, high fat, high salt, you're not really eating those foods anymore. And mm-hmm. so the desire for them drops completely. And as you stay on plant-based eating, what you want to eat is healthy, nutritious, whole foods. Everything changes.
It is. And, you know, I think the one thing to highlight is it's when you're receiving, when your body gets fed minerals and vitamins and life force versus, let's call it just animal flesh. I mean, there are you have our iron and things like that, but really you're missing. So when we start feeding the body and filling up those holes, then we're not looking for other things so much. We don't have those cravings because we're so satisfied.
That's true. And, you know, there was a recent article in the Wall Street Journal about treating and curing, actually, depression with good food, with using whole food, mainly vegetables, fruits, and whole grains. And what they found is it can prevent depression, and it can actually treat depression. So you're feeding your brain just what you talked about, all those nutrients, antioxidants. You're feeding your brain that good food.
Yes, and I think that's where the enlightened part comes. You actually do feel enlightened. You can think clearer, and you can move, and you have the energy, and you're not so tired. And one thing I really highlighted on one particular part of your book was the bringing up of feeling isolated when now you eat so differently than anyone else, and it's a socially challenging. And what are the things that really support us when we are feeling kind of like a victim, like, well, I got to eat this way and nobody else does, and now I've got to bring my own food everywhere, and I can't eat at that restaurant, and everybody's going. Like, I can give a million excuses that I hear. So,
you know, I feel so good about what I eat. I just feel blessed no matter where I go, because I know I'm doing the very best that I can do for my body, for my health, for my future, and for the world. And so I do not feel deprived in any way. And if I go to a restaurant, I can always figure out something on the menu. You know, I can either get a no cheese, no sour cream tostada. I could get a tofu vegetable dish. I could get pasta with tomato sauce. I could get a big salad. I mean, I just feel so great about the decisions that I've made about food, because my life depends on it, and I want to have a good, healthy life.
I know you said that my life depends on it, because
living
is one thing, and just hanging around Earth is another, and then doing harm is yet another. So I kind of went on both all those scales. And some of the words that come up to me is like patience and self-acceptance. And then you kind of went on that really joyful, happy scale of like, forget patience and self-acceptance. I'm like joyful about what I really feel great about these decisions and making those choices. And you're right. It can certainly be very easy, because you just, I have an allergy to onions, so I have to like constantly change every dish that's ever made, and so it's really tricky when I go up. But I also know that that's for my better health. So I know that if I eat an onion, I'm going to feel sick, and if I don't eat an onion, I feel great, and I can walk away going, nope, I had to make that little bit of an inconvenience, but like the word disruption again, but it was for myself and for my own good there.
Right, the goal that you accomplished, the goal of feeling good.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. And that constant willingness to Where do I need to start? Where do I need to go? I love, love, love when you, first of all, your book is filled with what to eat, choices, options. And I love that you preface it with, you don't like to have like the regular recipes, but you like to put stuff together. And I really, I'm quoting that, put stuff together. And that's exactly what I do. but it felt like you were still giving recipes in the book, because the book really, I was like, you were just giving combinations. And I thought, oh, well, I need that. And that sounds good. And oh my gosh, like I almost got full from reading it. But it's really helpful though, because I think a lot of people at first think I have to eliminate this and I just stop that, and then I can't go to this barbecue in the summer. And it's funny because I can't remember who I was speaking to yesterday or the day before, and I went, oh, barbecue season's coming up. And they kind of looked at me like, why would you be excited? And I was like, oh, the roasted vegetable or barbecue vegetables on the grill. Like it's just right. Like so many. You don't have to be so isolated and like that.
And there are options, you know, there's meat substitutes, there's veggie burgers, there's veggie Italian sausage, there's veggie meatballs. I mean, when you do need a substitute, there is a substitute there.
Yes, yes. And thanks to the internet, my goodness, there's like endless of everything. Sometimes I get overwhelmed, like, oh, never need to come up with a recipe because all I have to do is just pop online and look
right.
it up.
That's right.
I want to just highlight the health thing again, because there's one thing to do, you know, if you want to make a choice to do this and think this is fun, you know, and that's great. And there's like that joyfulness to it and a very light feeling. But there are some serious health benefits and challenges when we don't. I want to dive into this, but I have to organize my thought here, which I want to pick first. If you could help, because this is such a big struggle for everybody, could you help explain what is high cholesterol, bad cholesterol, and what does that have to do with plant-based eating and meat eating or animal eating?
So there's been a level determined for a healthy cholesterol. Depending on what you read, if you have a total cholesterol of 150 or lower, and you have a bad cholesterol of 80 or lower, you will not deposit cholesterol in your arteries. Now, when you eat a lot of fat, when you eat animal products, there's saturated fat in those. So cholesterol only comes from animal products. And that cholesterol that you eat can get deposited in your arteries. So once it gets deposited in your arteries, it narrows your arteries. So it increases the blood flow so that it can give you high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. When it narrows enough, you could, if a blood clot formed, you could either have a heart attack or you could have a stroke. Mm-hmm. So what you're trying to do with plant-based eating is lower the cholesterol to a healthy level. And the other thing plant-based eating does is it decreases inflammation. Inflammation works against you in terms of increasing risk for stroke and heart attack, because it affects the lining of the blood vessels and makes them kind of more sticky. And so eating plant-based is the opposite. It lowers inflammation. Over a period of time of eating plant-based, the plaque can actually regress. So you could do good for yourself, even if you've eaten animal products most of your life. Once you make the switch and you stick with it, the plaque in your arteries can regress.
That's a big one, because I don't know that people realize that the power behind that. That's literally, like you said, even our, oh, I'm going to say it wrong because I'm so used to saying it.
Telomerase.
It's literally, it's like the anti-aging again here. We are literally shrinking the plaque and not just stopping it from forming and building up. But yes, and inflammation is huge. It's with all things. Now, what if people are on medications, whether it is for cholesterol or for anything? I mean, any kind of, maybe somebody taking Tylenol repeatedly for migraines or something that they really truly, they couldn't live if they don't make a change in their diet and they're taking a prescription. What would that look like?
I mean, the change in the diet helps everything. So if they're on prescription medication, What may very well happen is they may need less medication. So say they're diabetic and they start eating plant-based and they lose weight and they stop eating all that sugar, then very likely they're going to need less medication, and some people will even need no medication. And some people will need cholesterol-lowering medication in addition to eating plant-based. There have been studies that have shown that if you eat plant-based, you decrease that rate of inflammation. And even if you're on cholesterol-lowering medication and you get a normal cholesterol, if you're still eating animal products, the inflammation is still there. So the plant-based eating really does so much good for you.
That I need to highlight that again, because I remember reading that and thinking, oh, I love that one, because you're right. We can get a reading when we take our results that we're good, but that's because the prescription, the medication, is allowing that reading to be there, but there's so many other things affecting us.
Exactly right.
Yeah, inflammation is just so, it gets in there, it gets in our tissues everywhere and does everything. But, and after the, we'll have commercial just in 30 seconds here, but I'm so curious that when we come back, just talk about fats and oils, because I just love seeds. I love seeds more than nuts, but I love both. But then there's oils. And then we have all those kind of things as isn't gone rancid. And what is that doing to our bodies in there? Because I want to have people eating a plant-based diet that's very safe for them. And they have confidence and comfortability in knowing, because eating the incorrect plant-based thing can be just as harmful and cause inflammation as is, you know, not doing it. So when we come back, I'm going to ask about, because you had mentioned there's some fellows that do the nor oil completely and some people that just do those seeds.
Okay.
Okay, great.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
As we hang in there and just waiting to find out, I am about fats and oils. I just want to thank everybody for sharing with us right now and listening to Dr. Cassandra Olson as she has just come out with her book, Enlightened Eating, The Eightfold Path to Health. And we're going to let you know how to get in touch with her and to follow her on Facebook and where to find recipes in just a moment. But as we do that, Dr. Olson, the fats and oils are I've heard so many people in endless that when they have done a complete plant-based diet, that some people will do a lot of fats and oils and nuts and seeds, and some actually keep that really in check. First of all, how do we know which of us can do a lot of nuts and seeds and oils, and who of us should not be doing them?
So there's really no nutritional value to oils.
Ah!
There's really no nutritional value. And so you're much better off to get a good fat from, say, avocado,
right,
or walnuts or flaxseed, flax meal, because if you can minimize oils, first of all, it's a lot of calories,
yeah,
and it's really to make food more palatable. So mm-hmm. you use the smallest amount possible if you need it on a salad or if you need to cook with it. And you try to maximize the good fats from these other foods that I mentioned. Some people feel fine on seeds and nuts. Other people feel heavy. You know, they mm-hmm. just feel like the nuts are a vegetable fat, but they can make some people just feel too full. So they may not eat those. People with heart disease and people with diabetes should be eating a very, very low-fat diet. If you have diabetes, one of the studies that's been done shows that it's very hard for insulin to work properly with a lot of fat in the diet. It prevents the insulin from getting into the muscle cells. And so they found that if you eat really low-fat diet with diabetes, you can eat plenty of complex carbohydrates, but your blood sugar will go down. And a plant-based diet is three times as effective as the ADA diet, the diabetic diet that's talked about.
Yeah. I'm really happy that you made that distinguishing factor between complex carbs and fats, because back in the day, probably 20 years ago when I was teaching nutrition too, it was, okay, wait, if you're going to have a high sugar food, let's say, I don't know, a white piece of bread, just make sure you pair it with some fat and some proteins, because that can really bring, that spike down. But that's not like it's a sneaky way around the corner, right? Like, we don't want
right.
people doing that. We want to work together. Now, you just brought this huge question that I have to ask you now, because you just said that oils don't really have a lot of nutritional value, but what about coconut oil? Because I just love my coconut oil.
I know. The problem with coconut oil is it's 90% saturated fat. So saturated fat means it's like animal fat, but it's really a vegetable. So it's one of the very few products that's not an animal that behaves like an animal. So palm oil and coconut oil have this high amount of saturated fat. So really, it's good to apply to your skin, but it's mm-hmm. not good to eat.
So when they say to cook with it, I don't have a lot of it. So, when it's my saving grace here, I have it, but I don't have a lot. I do put it all over my skin. But cooking with it, so is the alternative would best be avocado or grapeseed?
So canola oil is about 5% saturated fat. Olive oil is about 14% saturated fat.
Love
and
olive.
Coconut oil is about 90% saturated fat. So coconut oil is more like liquid lard.
Right. It kind of looks like it, too.
Yeah. So there's a lot of misinformation about coconut oil. I mean, I've read in Runner's World magazine where they're having runners put a tablespoon or two in their coffee.
Yeah.
And so the marketing is misleading, quite misleading.
Wow. No, I'm kind of being shocked here, too, now, because I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you're going to have a 5 pound of jar of organic coconut oil in my kitchen, and I kind of start I'm a seed girl, and so that's where also too, we're kind of breaking it down into, whether it's saturated versus monounsaturated and polyunsaturated, but the bad ones, and we all kind of know to stay away from that, is the hydrogenated, the partially hydrogenated, but what about rancid, when something goes rancid?
I do not eat it.
do not
eat it. I mean, get rid of it. And most people keep oils in the refrigerator anyway. But if you don't, you have to be careful. You can mark the date on there. You can smell it if it's rancid. Do not eat it.
Right, and that's what I just was going to share about when people are buying prepared salad dressings, there are so many chemicals and additives and the, like they're using those flavorings and colorings, and it actually masks the rancidity of oils. And that's something that I'm very sensitive nose to rancid oil. So as soon as I open up any kind of a salad, like if I was at a restaurant, I would just smell, it just smells bad to me.
Yeah.
But one has
that's
to have that
point.
Nose. Yeah, and I and that's why I never buy shelf salad dressing. I make my own because there's so many. And you actually offer so many things of ways of flavoring things and making them healthy. And one of the places that you could invite people to is called the gratitudegourmet.com. That's what on that site do you offer to everybody there?
Well, actually, that's a site that I don't offer. It's someone that came on to my Facebook page.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, so let's get them to your Facebook page. Where should they find you on Facebook?
Cassandra Olson, MD.
Okay, and then they can just follow you and they find a whole bunch of stuff that comes up there.
They'll find things from the book and healthy living tips.
Healthy living tips. And this is huge because if somebody wants to make this decision to go there, you have something that you have called Square Meal Plan.
Yes. Square meal plan. You take a square and you divide it into four little squares. And how you visualize it is one square is dark green leafy vegetables and other vegetables. One square is legumes, could be tofu, peanut butter, beans, lentils. One square is fruit and one square is grains. And if when you're preparing a meal, you visualize that square and you have something from each of those four corners, you'll have a balanced diet where you know you're getting enough protein from those foods.
That's a big one. I love that you mentioned that because people are thinking plant-based diet. I'm not even going to get protein. Like, where am I getting this from? But plants pack a punch.
All plants have protein. Even fruit has a little bit of protein in it.
Yeah.
But all the vegetables have protein, beans, legumes, of course, tofu, soy products have protein.
Yeah, I think a lot of people miss that. They forget that that they are going to get protein from the plants and that they don't have to get this.
And I think we're eating too much protein anyway. You know, the China study said that plant-based protein is best to prevent future disease and that you only need 10% of your diet to be protein.
And yet, see, everybody's going to, I'm going to hear from this one. but it is good. And I think everybody, you have to listen to your body. And really, like you said in right at the beginning, have a conversation with yourself. What are your choices? What are your goals? How do you feel? And just really go. There's actually quite a few things that you do. And I want to review them just to go through this. Sometimes like name the change you want. I love that.
Yes.
That's a Kickstarter.
Yes. So, you know, that would be, do you want to lose weight? Do you want to stop smoking? Do you want to eat a salad every day? I mean, it's such a wide variety, but you name what you want to change.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And there's things even like, I want to meditate for 5 minutes a day just to envision what I want. Like it could, maybe we're not even, we can't name it yet, but we know there's things that we can do to help us. Figure out what it is to identify. And I would love for you, because we do have some, just the end of the hour here to share, you have had some incredible life experiences, like to be able to go to Africa and go to India, and just I would love to hear just the differences of diets and foods and thoughts and everything.
Well, there's a lot of plant-based eating in, of course, both India and Africa. Food is not as plentiful, and so people there eat a lot less calories. I mean, I've seen people eating like one avocado in an entire day, there are people that meat is sold there. But it's more of a delicacy because people really can't afford it. So they do eat more plant-based. In working with Mother Teresa, the the children there at her children's home don't have as much food as we have here, and yet I guess I could say they don't have as much food, but they have more love. And so, you know, it's difficult to compare. It's very difficult to compare.
Right. It's not a better or worse. It's just a different.
Right.
And you're just seeing a lot more. Well, with love too. I mean, there is an appreciation factor in love, and that does give us health, and it keeps ourselves healthy and our heart open and whole.
Yes.
And I think so. When we think about the positive statements too, both ourselves and thinking this, because I think about, I just the title, like enlightened eating. First of all, where did that, I do have to ask that, where did that just, that was a given, or how, what made you think of that title?
I thought about enlightened eating because I was thinking when you're enlightened, you see things as they really are, that you're wise, you're compassionate. And so I thought that way, you would know that you're eating classically. You'd never have to change how you eat if you're eating plant-based, that you'll be thinner, you'll be wiser, you'll be healthier, and that's where that came from.
I love that you said that's classic, because you're right, it's timeless. It doesn't have to change. It's not a fad. It's not a diet.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's a classical way of eating.
Right. Oh, and you know what's so fun, Robert? Now that I'm going to use that because often I think, God, people must think I'm so boring, but I feel like I get really excited. I come back from the grocery store and I almost can't even continue. I can't put everything because there's so much color and there's so much liveliness and there's this fruit and this vegetable, and I actually just lay it out on the counter and think, oh my gosh, how do I even control myself? And I eat so Oh, there's a good question. Raw versus cooked when it comes to plant-based and stuff.
I think either way is fine. I mean, I think it's nice to get a little bit of both.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, that's where a salad every day is great because you're going to get all those raw veggies. But steamed veggies are good as well.
Yes.
Roasted veggies are good.
Yeah.
You were talking about grilled veggies. All of that is good.
Yes. And you know what's really funny? So now I'm getting hungry. Is the way when we do cook them, it does bring out some of those sugars because it's breaking it down and it is converting it for us. And so sometimes if we do have, I know for me, if I do have a little bit of that sweet tooth going on, because I'm not a sweets person or chocolate or candy, but my goodness, a roasted sweet potato. Wow. You know, so I think this is a good invitation for people to even play around. Maybe they're not ready to say no and get rid of the meat or the dairy quite yet, but it would be a great invitation to have them just start playing around and incorporating more fruits and vegetables so they have something to fall back on and they have this a good relationship with plant-based.
Exactly. That's a good point.
There you go. And so when people, so they can, they're going to track you down on Facebook because I know they will.
Okay.
And it's a Dr. Cassandra, that's two S's, and Olson. And I've had so much fun. I always go, oh, Olson. It was Olsen. And they can track you down there and they can order your book. They can read the book. They can find out that it's just a kind of really packet full of options. I think that's the thing. And facts. And things that you shared about what's going on in the world, because we're not focused on what do you know how much percentage of the population is plant based or
actually I do not know that.
Yeah, that'd be a weird one to kind of figure that all out. But
not as many as should be.
Right, exactly. And on a closing remarks, I would just invite you to share whatever it is you'd like to share as we kind of wrap all this up.
I mean, I would say that it's impossible to separate what we eat from how healthy we are, that what we eat affects our health and the health of the world around us. And when you eat plant-based, even if it's not 100% plant-based, you're part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Wow. I love that. That was so beautifully said. You cannot separate it. And that kind of speaks to, I think just, yes, perfectly speaks to everything that we are all one. Everything affects everything. And if you're out there and you're listening and you're thinking, I would like to see some changes in my health, and you're drawn to this and you feel a little bit enlightened, I would just invite you to check, go find Dr. Cassandra Olson on Facebook, pick up her book, Enlightened Eating, follow her there on Facebook because she just offers so many tips and everything. And I want to thank you for sharing this last hour with me and everything you have.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It was such a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Aww. Well, thank you. And I'll say goodbye to Dr. Olson right now. And just everybody, as you're listening, if you have any questions, comments, feedback, fears that you want to share, or joys, or like, I've done it, I've gone plant-based, find me on Facebook then too, Lisa Berry, B-E-R-R-Y. I get a fun last name because I'm a low glycemic fruit, and it's a great way to track me down there. I look forward to hearing from any of you and all of you, and we will listen to, well, you guys will listen to me again next Monday, and we'll all share some time then. Thank you for everybody joining us. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.